We're going to talk in a moment a little bit about the purpose, why we're here. Why do you think Calvary Christian Center exists? Is it just for us, for our bunch, for people like us? No. The purpose of Calvary Christian Center is for every person who needs Jesus, and that's unfortunately the majority of our community today. Amen? The majority of our community. So stand for the reading of God's Word, and don't forget to be back tonight. We're going to have a glorious evening in the presence of God. And here's what the scripture says in Luke 19. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. And he was rich. It's not by accident that he was rich, because he had worked his way up the ladder, working for the Roman Empire to make sure that people paid their taxes or else. And then some. That's why he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received Jesus joyfully. The crowds that were following Jesus, they all complained. Sometimes Christians can be that way, right? Yeah. They all complained, saying, he's gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen? Now you get a clear picture of the mission of Jesus, and it should be a clear picture of the mission of our church. That's why we exist. Not to just follow him along and be grateful for what he pours out upon us. That's a benefit of being a part of his kingdom and of his family, but that's not the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to come and seek and save that which was lost and to bring them home. Amen? That's why we're here. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for reminding us, because it's very easy for us to just get caught up in our own little world of our church and think that's why we exist, is for ourselves. That's not why we exist. We exist to carry out your great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So anoint us today to have ears to hear, and more than hear, to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name I pray, let the church say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. In this passage of scripture, we're seeing Jesus as our example and how we're to share his message, the message of his love and hope, to others. That's why we take up space in our community. I was thinking about this message, and I was thinking about some of the principles that are contained in the passage I just read to you. Back in 1998-99, the NBA basketball season, David Robinson, frequent All-Star center for the San Antonio Spurs, he shared the limelight with the new dominant player in the league, his teammate, Tim Duncan. San Antonio won the NBA playoffs in 99, and Tim Duncan was their star player during the playoffs. So, in sports magazines, Robinson reflected on what it was like for him. He said, I can't overstate how important my faith has been to me as an athlete and as a person. I'm quoting him. It says, it helped me deal with so many things, including matters of ego and pride. And that's the crucifixion of the flesh, is it not? For instance, he said, I can't deny that it felt weird to see Tim standing on the podium with with the finals MVP trophy. And I was thinking, man, never have I come to the end of a tournament and not been the one holding up that trophy. It was hard. But I thought about the Bible story, he said, of David and Goliath. David helped King Saul win a battle, but the king wasn't happy because he had killed his thousands while David had killed his tens of thousands. So King Saul could not enjoy the victory because he was too busy thinking about David getting more credit than he got. And so he goes on to say, Robinson says, I'm blessed that God has given me the ability to just enjoy the victory. So Tim killed the tens of thousands, and that's great. I'm happy for him. And that's the way we should all approach the work of the Lord. Amen? I don't think at times sharing has come too naturally for most people. And that's what the regeneration of the new birth should do in all of us, make us generous people, willing to share. And the reason why is because when we share, it means we have to give something up. And that triggered something in me when I saw and heard Bill talk about that in that passage from 2 Corinthians 5 last Sunday night, when he shared the love of Christ constrains us, compels us. And he goes into that Greek word, synecho, which leaves us no options. It compels, it pushes us. It's not an intellectual, yeah, I agree, our mission should be to evangelize the world. No, synecho means something that forces us into action, pushes us to step up. And Bill defined it so well, but it also equally keeps us from something. Keeps us from the evil one, keeps us from sin, keeps us from going back to defaulting to our old ways and our old nature. And then it keeps us in. He keeps us in his mercy and keeps us in his grace, and it keeps us in his church, and it keeps us working for the kingdom principles that God has given all of us, one of which, and one of the most important, if not the most important, is to take his message to our culture. Our genetic makeup, who we are, why we've been birthed into the kingdom of God. We all have genetics, and we all have DNA that's been given to us by those who came before us. But we all have a DNA that's common to all of us as born-again believers. And that's the DNA that Jesus gives us to complete the mission that he came and started. Amen? A vital part of our mission is to be the church that introduces lost people to Jesus. And the one thing that we're to share more than anything else is our faith in Christ. So what percentage of that conversation do you have day in and day out with people actually shares your faith in Christ? That brings with it some pretty big challenges, because we've been told over and over by our culture that our faith is a private matter, that you should keep that to yourself. And you get that message all the time, because just recently, a specific social media guru, owner, said that it's not appropriate for you to publish the Lord's Prayer on our network. So go ahead and do it all day long, as much as you can. Find it, paste it, put it up there, because we're not going to be shut up, or we're not going to be shut down, right? We've got a message to share, right? Our faith is not a private matter. That's a cultural perspective. That's not a kingdom perspective. It's something we're to keep to ourselves. We should never tell anybody else about our personal faith in Christ. How can we keep the message of Jesus and the hope he offers to ourselves and consider ourselves to be a New Testament church? We cannot. It's not possible to call ourselves a New Testament church and keep the message to ourselves. Because Jesus said, he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, to everybody. So as far as your connections are concerned, we've got a responsibility to tell those people. Unfortunately, most don't share or witness for various reasons. And all of us should. Most don't witness because they don't want to offend anyone. No one intentionally wants to offend anyone, but some will be offended by the message of Jesus. Jesus himself said that. And of course, his message did offend those in his day. But that should not stop us. We're compelled to take the message of Jesus. The love of Christ should compel us to tell others about him. And if they reject the message, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting his word, his message. People don't witness because they feel like it's not their responsibility. Yes, it is. I beg to differ with you. It's the responsibility of every person who says, I'm going to heaven, to take as many people with you as you can. That's an obligation we have to Jesus. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. Go into all the world. The Bible says in Romans 10:14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So you've got beautiful feet when you're a carrier of the message of Jesus' good news. Amen? In our passage of Scripture, we're seeing Jesus as the example. How? That we are to share the message of his love and hope with other people. And I promise you, you do not need a degree to tell people about Jesus. You don't need to be a theologian to talk to people about Jesus. It's not as complicated as a lot of people seem to want it to be. It's actually just telling others what he did in your life. The changes that happened to you because of your encounter and ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a witness. You saw, you felt, you heard, you experienced, and this is the result of what you observed and heard and felt and experienced. There are a few things we need to understand about Jesus and how he shares and wants us to share. Sharing our faith with others that literally transforms the mission of our church. We have got to get off the dime and start doing the work that we're assigned to do. That's the purpose of Calvary Christian Center. Now, my text took place about 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem in Jericho. It was loaded with travelers at this moment because people were headed toward Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Jesus himself was taking his final steps to Jerusalem, where he was going to be executed on a cross. But before he sacrificed his life in Jerusalem, on the journey to giving up himself for all of us, he found it important to share with yet another person. There's another one here that needs this love and needs this message. And the man he was to share with was named Zacchaeus. And from the text, we're going to see a few things to help us understand the importance of sharing the faith that God has blessed us with. The first thing that helps us understand this importance of sharing is, first, people want to know Jesus. If there ever was a day when we've got a message to share of hope, it's today more so than perhaps in decades in our country. Luke 19, a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was. He wanted to know about Jesus, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. He was a tax collector, not the most popular job to have among Israelis. I'm sure you won't be surprised to hear that the people of the culture of Israel could not stand tax collectors. You know what I'm saying? Okay? Because first of all, how dare you, being one of us, work for this empire that's ripping us off? Okay? But little did they know, in many cases, some of them were ripping them off as well. And one of the reasons why is because they were typically corrupt. They were willing to do whatever in order to stuff their own pockets. These collectors were supposed to collect a certain amount of taxes for the Roman Empire after they assessed what you owed. But often, the collector would charge more than the tax to make extra cash for himself. Zacchaeus was basically a thief. He robbed people. He took more than was necessary. He wouldn't have been high on anybody's priority list to get to know. He was not the guy you wanted to have over for dinner. Do you know anybody like that? Have you ever met anybody in that category? It's interesting to see that as depraved as this guy was, he still had a desire to see Jesus. He had a desire to know who he was. He had heard about him, no doubt. Now he's coming through Jericho. I got to see who this guy is. Why? We can only surmise why, but my guess would be that even though he'd made a ton of cash and he had a lot of money, he was rich. Even though he was living at a higher standard than anyone else in Jericho, he was still unsatisfied. There was something missing in his life. And by the time Jesus now is a well-known figure, he's coming to the end of 3.5 years of ministry, and the whole nation knows the name of Jesus. In verse 3, we're told there was such a big crowd following after Jesus that Zacchaeus had to climb up in a tree to get a look at him. Pretty evident that Jesus passing through Jericho was a big deal for that town on that given day. The crowd was enormous, and Zacchaeus was interested. I've got to see this Jesus in action. Only God knows what he did while he was traveling through Jericho. John says that we could not write enough books. They could not contain all the miracles that Jesus did that we don't have time to write about. I'd like to know what some of those were when he was traveling through Jericho, some of the deeds that he performed. That had to be incredible because the crowd just kept swelling and getting larger and larger. And Zacchaeus is interested in seeing this Jesus. It's still the same way now. We live in the greatest country on the planet. Aren't you grateful to be an American? We've got more freedom than any place in the world, and we dare not lose it because we won't get it back if we capitulate and turn it over. We have more freedom than anywhere. Our standard of living is so great that people are literally dying to get here. Yet George Barna, who does a lot of study and statistical documentation of what goes on in the church, the study he most recently did found that most Americans are lonely, isolated, even though they're busy and running around faster than ever. Even though we have so much, we're not satisfied. Even though we have so much at our fingertips, we're unfulfilled. And 85% of those that he polled who were unchurched said they would come to church and check Jesus out, but have never been asked. 85% would come to church, but have never been asked. That's horrible. It's a horrible indictment. To top it off, we're in an economic mess right now. Anybody go shopping for Thanksgiving? Some have lost their jobs because we went from 15 days to slow the spread to 3 jabs if you're going to keep your job. Okay? And now they're trying to scare you again with another variant. And listen, this is not the way we were designed to live under continual threat, because there'll be variants until the cows come home. There are always going to be variants of viruses. So what does that mean? We're going to be locked down for the rest of our lives? That we're never going to have freedom again? No, we need to push back now. Now's the day to say enough. No more, okay? Others can't find willing workers. You see signs going up everywhere. We're ready to hire people, right? The very thing so many have put their faith and trust in have proven not to be trustworthy. And now we have a skepticism, not only of those who get very, very wealthy as politicians and wonder, How in the world did that happen? Doesn't take a genius to figure out how that happened, and nor does it take a genius to figure out what Big Pharma has invested in all these vaccines and how wealthy some of them are getting because so many have to be vaccinated in order to go back to work. Listen, because of all the craziness going on in our culture, there's an increased intensity to find something that's trustworthy, something that's stable, something that you can count on that's not going to be affected by tyrants or by the economy. The time is ripe for us to open our eyes and see that people want to know Jesus just like Zacchaeus. They're looking for something to hang on to regardless of what life keeps throwing at us day in and day out. They're looking for something to fill the hole in their heart. And the woke thing for us to do is to just keep our faith to ourselves. A very large denomination, the founder of which right now has got to be spinning like a top, because his foundation was, we preach the gospel to everyone, and the mission is to go into all the world, and no matter what, don't ever stop that mission. Recently published a document that was released, shocking to all of us, this large denominational group that tells all the people of light skin color that no matter what you say or what you do, you're racist. And that you should be sorry for the fact that you carry this kind of skin color. This is the craziness we're in our culture. And the woke thing now to do for the church is just kind of keep all this to yourself. Don't go out and upset anybody with this message that you have. Listen, the biblical correct thing to do is understand we have a responsibility to introduce Jesus to people we're around. We have a responsibility to do that. Zacchaeus was looking for firm ground to stand on. I want to see who this man is. I don't know many people who enjoy uncertainty. I know I don't like uncertainty. Most of us are pretty desperate for some solid ground in this culture to go after things we can count on and depend on and know that's as steady as a rock. And I've always enjoyed going to theme parks and enjoyed getting on those rides. How about you? Anybody enjoy going to theme parks? It didn't matter what kind of a ride it was. If it was crazy, I'd get on it because I like the craziest rides. And we've got some people I know that are just scared to death of some of those rides. I can't do that. I'm not going to get on that ride. We were at Great America back in Illinois one day with a professor we had from college, Dr. Al. And, you know, he happened to mention to me that I don't want to go on rides that some rides because I don't do well on those rides. Okay, don't worry about it. This is a kid's ride. This will be fun for you. So I took Al on the spinning cup ride. You know, you get inside the cup and it kind of goes in circles. But there's a wheel in the center of the cup. Remember that? And the harder you turn it, the faster you turn it, the faster the cup spins. Well, I was having the time of my life. I love it. The faster I go, the better I like it. I grew up on boats with my dad, and going fishing on Saturdays. And we'd go out in Long Island Sound. And when the squalls would come up, instead of going down underneath, I'd go along the side and hang on, and it was fun just rocking and rolling all over the water and pitching from one side to the other. Well, I was laughing and having a great time out of Great America, and I grabbed that wheel, and I started spinning that thing as fast as I could make it turn, right? It was really fun until a wave of incredible nausea came over Al, and I thought, he's going to throw up right here in the middle of this cup. It's not going to be good. He turned white. And he was praying that it was going to stop so he could get back on solid ground. Do you ever feel like that in the culture today? That we're spinning all over the place and we just need to get back on some solid ground? I mean, he got off the ride. Now, Al had a comb over. What I mean by that, he parted it down here and went like that. Okay. Now, by the time the ride was finished, the comb over was done, right? The comb over now was hanging down here. Okay, there was nothing over here. He was as white as a sheet, and he threatened me all through that park. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you for doing this. Our world is looking for solid ground today. Solid ground. There are people who are anxious to see and know Jesus because instinctively we know only he can bring peace and calm to our soul. Jesus put it like this, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Okay, we're seeing that. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Praise God. Do you think people are hungry for some peace? Wouldn't it be great to turn on the news and not watch Fakey Fauci telling us about another thing we're going to have to shut down? You can't have Christmas. And because of that, I believe people are eager to discover Jesus. And the first thing that will help us understand the importance of sharing our faith with people, because they want to know who he is, and that's important, they want to know. So we have an audience that's perhaps more ready-made than we've had in decades. Second thing that helps us understand the importance of our mission and our purpose and who we are, people have to overcome obstacles coming to Jesus. It's never going to be a piece of cake or a cakewalk. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was going to pass. Jesus was coming his direction. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't at first. It was tough at first. Why not? Because, first of all, he was short. Secondly, the crowd was huge. And they were all standing in front of him, and they blocked his ability to see. He can't see over the tops of this huge crowd. And I'm sure there were some in the crowd who recognized him and kind of got a little kick out of the fact, he's on the outside looking in, right? He's not one of us. As I thought about that, I began to realize there will always be obstacles that stand in front of people coming to Jesus. And the reason why is Satan's going to do everything in his power to keep people from following after Christ. Some people have a difficult time coming to Jesus because they've had a bad religious experience in the past. There was someone or some church that really turned them off. And because of that, they've had a hard time seeing past that moment to see Jesus and the importance that, listen, people are human beings and people are frail. Jesus is perfect. We got to go see Jesus. Amen. No matter the imperfections of any group of people, we're grateful to know Jesus. Amen? Others struggle coming to Jesus because they don't want to give up control of their lives. They want to live how they want to live. So consequently, we've got some in many of our churches today that are glad to get their ticket to heaven, but don't tell me how to live. Well, I'm not telling you how to live, but he is. And since this is his kingdom, he gets to make the rules, and he's made them, and we're to abide by them, whether it makes us feel good or not. Oftentimes, our old nature's not going to like what his directives are. And sometimes one of those directives that makes us not feel too well is this directive that we have a responsibility to bring others into the kingdom of God. But people don't want to give, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. Well, you are entitled to do that. You get that choice. But you're going to be high and dry when it comes to passing out rewards in front of Jesus' throne because you refused to change your ways, right? They feel like the cost of following Jesus is too great. I don't want to give that up. Others are blinded by the bad testimony of people who claim to be Christians. And they see them say one thing and then live another way completely. I remember when we were traveling in ministry for a while and we were trying to fit our children into a local church because I'd be away on some weekends and we couldn't always take the whole family. So we were looking for an opportunity for them to plug into a local church. And I remember calling one of the pastors on staff and chatting with him about my children and getting them plugged in. But one of the things one of my kids came back to tell me was, you know, that guy that's always making all the racket in the choir and he's jumping up and down and he's singing. man, you should hear the bad language that guy uses when he gets off that stage. And I thought, oh boy, that's not what I wanted to have happen to teenage impressionable children, right? They say one thing and then live another completely. So that turns some people off to Jesus and the message. Those are frustrating obstacles. But here's the good news. Every obstacle that stands in the way of a person in Jesus can be overcome. Every single one of them. You might think, well, how do you know that? He said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. So with all this tyrannical stuff that we're watching happening in our world and in our culture, you know what? That's only pushing all of our culture toward the only one who can solve the issues. Because just before the birth, there's always pain. Just before the happiness and the joy in the birthing of what God's wanting to do, there's going to be some pain. And so I'm grateful for the pain because I know exactly what's coming as a result of the pain, an explosion in the kingdom of God. And the Lord promises that if we seek after him, he will allow us to find him. And the pressures that are building in our culture should be pushing us to the feet of Jesus. God's not playing some big hide-and-seek game with us. He wants people to find him and won't allow any obstacle to become insurmountable as far as he's concerned. A person simply has to be willing to be open to discovering who Jesus is, and God promises, I will reveal myself to that hungry person. On the other side of that coin, sometimes believers have obstacles in reaching out to others and helping them find Jesus. Many are afraid they don't know enough to talk about someone, to talk to someone about Jesus. Don't want to be viewed as being weird, okay? But watch, we have a responsibility to help people find Jesus. We have a responsibility to help people overcome their obstacles. We can't just sit back and say, hope they get over that obstacle and find Jesus. That's insufficient. Our responsibility when there's an obstacle is to do everything in our ability to help them overcome that obstacle. It's our job to lend people a hand in finding Jesus, to make it as easy as possible. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to dissolve the fears that we innately have in speaking about Jesus. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, because I will supply you everything you need to be my witness. Witness. Not a lawyer, not a debater, not an argumentative person, not a brash, harsh person, but a person who just simply says, I was going through this horrible, and I turned my life toward Jesus, and Jesus changed everything in my life. And he'll be the same remedy for you. He's got the answers you're looking for, right? So he climbs up in this tree. Zacchaeus has this obstacle. He can't see Jesus. He climbs up into the tree to see Jesus. And after that, what happens? Jesus gets close to where he is in that tree and introduces himself to Zacchaeus, which leads to a major life change in this guy. And here's something interesting. After he climbed up in the tree, it was Jesus who approached Zacchaeus. Jesus didn't wait for Zacchaeus to come running up to him. Just this simple step in the right direction is all you need to take. Zacchaeus didn't come running to Jesus. He didn't wait until Jesus was in the temple and wait for Zacchaeus to show up in the temple to talk to him about his need for God. He approached Zacchaeus where he was, in the marketplace, in the place of the city where he resided. That's a lesson for all of us. The greatest impact this church will make on our community won't occur inside this building. It will occur while we're outside this building in the marketplaces of life letting Jesus be seen in our lives. And why in the world do you think that is? Because that's the way God designed it. But a lot of Christians in this cultural world we live in called Western civilization think, well, we pay the preacher, so we hope somehow he gets unsaved people into the church on the weekend and they'll give their hearts to the Lord. No, here's the way it's supposed to work. We're supposed to gather here to celebrate over all the people you have won to the Lord during the week and brought them to church to celebrate the goodness of God in your life and in theirs. That's the responsibility and the purpose of the church. The stage of life is outside this building, and people are curious to see how we perform on it. That's the testing ground. And when you see us living out our faith, let me stop a moment. I'll take you to Acts 2 to prove what I just said a moment ago about how believers are coming to the Lord. That was happening in the homes and in the neighborhoods of where the people of the church resided. That was the New Testament church. Because then, it says, because they were witnessing and sharing what messages they were receiving from the apostles and discovering those truths, they were sharing them everywhere they were, from their homes, in their neighborhoods, and the Lord added to the church every day, not on Sunday, every day, such as should be saved. When people see us living out our faith, not just because we come to this building on Sunday, but living our faith outside of it, in the marketplace, at the coffee table, at the place where we're getting our snack or our lunch, they're going to be a little more open to listening to what we have to say when they see that we live this wherever we are, that we're salt and light wherever we are. The Queen Mary was the largest ship to cross the oceans when it was launched back in 1936. It was in service for over 40 years. Then it became a floating hotel and museum in Long Beach, California. Anybody visit there? Yeah, I remember going there years ago. During the conversion of this big ship, her three massive smokestacks were taken off to be scraped down and repainted. As they started scraping down the smokestacks, they crumbled totally. There was nothing left underneath the paint. All that remained was just 30 coats of paint that had been applied over the years. The steel had all rusted away. It looked good on the outside, but it was empty on the inside. Uh-oh, you feel a little sermon coming here? Okay. The pandemic has exposed the masks that many were already wearing before they told you needed to wear one, okay? And the pandemic has definitely been a test to share and see and observe whether or not we're people of faith, that we trust God no matter what. The substance of what we believe concerning how our faith will impact our lives will be exposed at work, at home, in the neighborhood. These things that are happening right now in our culture will pressure cook us to be exposed for what we really are. When people find that you're solid in your living, that there's substance beneath what you're talking about, it gives you an opening to bridge the gap between them and Jesus. And how do you do that? One, get to know the people you work around, the people you go to work with, that you encounter, that God's brought into your space and in your life. Take time to have a conversation with them and show you care about what they're dealing with, because everybody's got a story. Everybody's dealing with something. Become their friend. Pray for them. Offer, say, you know, you're having a conversation, they're telling you about the struggle. Say, hey, you know what? I've been through some struggles too, and I found prayer really helps me through that. Do you mind if I pray with you right now about this and ask God to help you? You'd be surprised how far that goes to opening that crack just a little bit more. So the next day when you have another encounter with them, they tell you, you know, thank you for doing that. We were able to navigate through the last 24 hours. It opens the door for you to begin to talk more about your faith and what God has done in your life. Amen? Take the time, pray for them. Then invite them to a church event. Experiencing Christmas is coming up. Invite them to the event. Invite them to your Connect group. Because the Connect groups are not designed biblically to just be nice little enjoyable times for all of us who will call ourselves saints. They're not to just be a little glorified fellowship hour. They are designed to bring new people like the New Testament church did into the kingdom. Invite them to your Connect group. Invite them to a church service as well. In one of those places, they should hear about Jesus. As the opportunity arises, you tell them how being a follower of Jesus has made the big difference in your life. That's what a witness does. Doesn't have to argue the case. Just says, this is what I saw. This is what I was going through. This is what I experienced. This is how it worked for me. And this is, I believe, well, how it will work for you. That's what a witness does. Everybody's got obstacles. And we've been called as the Church of Jesus to help people by building that bridge so they can get over those obstacles and see Jesus. When it's all said and done, we've got to introduce them to Jesus. And that's the first thing that will help us understand the importance of sharing our faith with people who want to see and know Jesus. See, when Bill was preaching Sunday night and talked about the love of Christ constrains us, it compels us, it pushes us, it forces us. The love of Christ is boiling up inside of you because of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what generates the love of Christ. It's going to push you. It's going to constrain you. It's going to cause you to want to talk to others about the Lord. It's going to keep you from doing things you shouldn't be doing and wasting your life on things that dilute your ability to be the witness God's called you to be. And it's going to compel you to stay steady and strong in the worst possible storm. Amen? And the second thing, people have obstacles. We're called to help people overcome those obstacles and show them the way home. Amen? And then third, Jesus transforms lives. That's the greatest message we can share with anybody in our culture. In Luke 19:8, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. If I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Aren't you grateful he came to find you? You know, sometimes you'll hear people tell you, "I found the Lord." Well, really, he found you. He wasn't lost, you were. Okay? We were lost. He came and found us. I'm grateful someone helped me know the Lord. I trust you're grateful someone helped you find the Lord. So the big question is, why is it a major part of our church's mission to share our faith with others? Why? Why is that our mission? The answer is found in the verses I just read. It's because Jesus has the ability to transform lives. Zacchaeus was a cheat. He got rich off the backs of people and he went and collected from and threatened. He was a guy who was only interested in looking out for number one, how he could bleed all he could out of as many as possible. But when he encountered Jesus in his life, when Jesus sat down, I'd like to know the conversation they had during that little luncheon. When Jesus, "I'm going in there, we're going to have a little food together. We're going to have a little chat, a little bit about who you are and who I am," right? I'd like to know what that was all about. And when he encountered Jesus in his life, everything changed. He came away from that table. Listen, in verse 8, he makes an offer. "I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor, and I'm going to pay back with interest everybody I've ripped off. I want to be sure that there's restoration, folks." When we're truly born again, we look for ways to make restoration for whatever it is that we've done to bring harm. Now, I'm not a CPA, but my guess is, after spending all that kind of money from his coffers, he was probably now a little bit more like the average guy that he used to rip off in terms of his economy. He no longer was a wealthy guy. when he had to give back four times what he stole. So don't get scared on me now and say, Pastor's telling me I got to get rid of everything I have in order to go live in a tent somewhere and not be able to serve. You know, no, I'm not telling you that. The point is, Zacchaeus at one time had everything, but it wasn't enough. But after meeting Jesus, he was willing to release that grip that he had on what he thought would make him happy and follow after Jesus. You see, for the first time in his life, Zacchaeus realized what he needed was Jesus. That's what I need. Not what the Roman Empire will give me as a bonus or how much I can rip off above and skim off the top from the people I'm taxing. People can't come into contact with Jesus and not be changed. You can't become a follower of Jesus and not have him impact your life. 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. That's in the context of what we heard last Sunday night. The love of Christ impacting him transformed him. And Jesus loved Zacchaeus even when he was an out-and-out thief. He didn't love him after he changed. He loved him before. And people need to know that there's a God who loves them. Not when they get better, but he loves them right now. Loves them where he finds them. So many people spend their lives wanting to be loved, right? They think if they have more stuff, they'll be lovable. They think if they do more good things than bad things, then they can earn the love of others and perhaps even of God. So much of the love people seek is conditional. Jesus loves us unconditionally, where he finds us. And while we're still not clean, he loves us. Amen? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means he loved us before he cleaned us. You see, that was what was wrong with the crowd. When they saw Jesus spending time with Zacchaeus, he hangs around with sinners. They didn't get it. They didn't understand. That's what he does. That's who he is. That's what we've all been, sinners, right? He's come looking for us. We've got to get the message out to people that Christ desires to be in a relationship with them. When that happens, there'll be people willingly receive their forgiveness and their reconciliation and have their burdens lifted, and they'll discover joy and peace in their lives because all of a sudden they'll realize there's a God who does love me and care about me in spite of some of the stupid mistakes I've made. Back in my home state, in the desperation of the times in which we live, and more of this is happening, people in ministry who are only in it for a paycheck are bailing out as fast as you can count the numbers. Stuff going on among suicides, people just giving up and quitting, scared to death, pushed to the brink, and taken their lives. We've got to stop the bleeding among our active duty and our veterans and people giving up thinking it's hopeless. Back in Greenwich, Connecticut, pretty much a bedroom for New York City, particularly top executive types, very wealthy community. A 24-year-old woman from that community took her Blazer and drove it into Spring Valley, New York. It was very close to the New York line in Greenwich. She hopped out of her car, got on the bridge, and jumped 140 feet into the water. That's a big drop. 21-year-old Daniel Santos happened to be driving across that bridge when he saw that woman get on the top of that railing and jump. He slammed on his brakes, handed his wallet to a motorist who was coming up behind him, and jumped right in after the woman. The plunge from that height left Santos and the woman semi-conscious. But he recovered enough to drag that woman to a nearby boat and get her safely to people who would help her. And why in the world would anybody do something like that? Why would someone risk their life for someone who evidently wanted to die? Listen to the neighbor of Santos and what they said about him. They said, He and his father would do work around our house whenever we needed it. I've known him since he was just a child. He always cared about others, and everybody around here loves him. He's just a great kid. Santos emulated what his father had taught him to do. His dad was that way, and the boy was that way. And thank God that we should be the way our father has taught us to be. Zacchaeus saw the sacrifice Jesus was willing to make to be with him, leaving the thronging crowd, huge people yelling accolades at him, telling him how great he was, but at the same time saying, he's hanging around with that sinner. Okay? And Jesus could see right through that stuff. And he knew, this guy needs what I have to offer. People ridiculed Jesus for reaching out to this outcast. Yet he was willing to reach out to him because he loved him and knew what I've got will change his life. And that's what drives people to go rescue other people. That's what takes our guest speaker last Sunday, Bill, into literally the cemeteries and the dumps of communities where children are left abandoned. It's that mission that we're all called to go do, and that's for sure to share with those that we work around every single day the love of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice by Jesus enabled Zacchaeus to sacrifice his old way of life for the new life he found in Christ. That's the sign of a life transformed, one who takes the example of his leader and follows it. That's what that young man did when he rescued that woman who jumped off that bridge. He followed the example his father had taught him as a young child to go help other people. And when he saw a need, he jumped in to help. And when Jesus saw this need, he said, that's exactly what I'm going to do because I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Some might not feel that they can measure up to being a follower of Jesus. Some might believe that to get their life right, they have to go back first and clean up everything and fix up everything and get spink and span, so to speak. Then we can come to Jesus because they're fearful he might not accept them as they are in their state. That's not the way it is. That's not the who Jesus is. Jesus takes people just as they are. And when they respond to his offer of forgiveness, he will change them. You see, if we follow anything other than Jesus, our lives are never full and never fulfilled. Our lives cannot be influential and never be what God intended them to be until we start becoming followers of Jesus. For he said in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And what's his kingdom like? I'm just describing to you one of the responsibilities we have to the king of his kingdom, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The DNA of Calvary Christian Center is to be a people that shares their faith. That's who we're supposed to be. Now, it can make it easier to share when we realize there are people who want to know Jesus. There are people who want to know. I want to know who he is. People who have obstacles, and most do, in coming to Jesus. Zacchaeus had two obstacles. One, the crowd was huge. He couldn't see past them. And two, he was shorter than the average, and that made things even worse. That didn't stop Jesus from making sure he got the message. And Jesus transforms people. That's the gospel. I'm looking at that. Our world is going through one of the most turbulent times in our history. Unbelievable. I've never seen things go so fast, so rapidly, in the wrong direction. You could feel like, looking at the culture around us, there's little hope. I assure you, this is a day of hope. In the middle of hopelessness, we carry a message of hope and reconciliation. Amen? That's why I love Habakkuk. And I love what he has to say. He lived in a time of crying and violence and injustice. And he was extremely frustrated as God's prophet. And God begins to speak to him in the first chapter and says, look, among the nations and watch and wonder and be amazed, even in the worst of these conditions. For I'm doing a work in your days that you would not believe." And then he goes on to say to Habakkuk, write the vision, make it plain on tablets. In verse 14, and then he makes one of the most incredible promises you'll find anywhere in the Bible. "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." This came to people living in very troubled times, in hopeless moments. And Habakkuk wrote this book in the middle of a time of confusion. And like that prophet, I believe we're about to enter a wave of God's presence, the likes of which we have never seen in our lifetimes, where the glory of God will fill the earth. Amen. There will be praise and worship and the declaration of who our God is to the ends of our earth. This day will be the greatest day in the history of the church, for God is about to reveal his power and his glory to the world. Are you ready for something great to happen on this planet? Amen. God's ready. If his people will get ready, he's ready. So I have hope in my spirit today that we're going to get filled with the Spirit, become witnesses to the kingdom and the King. Many people see today as difficult. God sees it as a day of hope, a day of opportunity. No day greater than today to preach the gospel. In my life, difficult circumstances always seem to happen just before the greatest victories that God permits and grants in my life. There's always been a struggle coming up to the greatest moments in my life. The persecution of the early church led to the evangelization of the entire world because they were scattered everywhere, and everywhere they went, they preached the word. Back in his day, when he was starting to create the first automobiles, Henry Ford said, "The air is full of ideas." But I love the promise of the word, and it's greater than anything Ford ever said. "The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea." That's a promise I can latch on to. Amen? No matter how dark it may be, our hope is in the true glory, in the knowledge of the Lord filling all of the earth. My God is bigger and greater than all the negativity all around us. And that's what we need to be sharing: the goodness of God, the excitement of God, the energy of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Lord that constrains and compels us to never hold back, but to be bold and talk about the King, the Savior. Amen? Jesus transforms lives. It's time to obey Jesus' commission and join all the saints throughout the ages from the beginning of the church in sharing his message, the message of good news and great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the message. Greater message, no greater message. That's the message of Christmas. Amen. So stand with me, everybody. Come on. Stand to your feet, lift your hands, and thank God you know forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Thank God you have forgiveness through Christ your Lord. Come on. You owe him a debt of gratitude and thanksgiving. Say, "I thank you, Lord, because you found me. That was that abandoned sheep. That was the one, Lord, that was out there all by my own. Thank him for saving you. Thank him for finding you. Thank him for loving you." Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Take a moment and praise him with gratitude for what he's done for you. Thank you, Lord. You're a good God. Thank you, Jesus. I want everybody in the room and watching on live stream to pray for your coworkers, your associates, the people you rub shoulders with, your clients, your management, people you're going to talk with throughout the week. Pray and ask God to give you an opportunity to get to know that person. Get a little deeper than the weather or the politics of the day, and to know their personal struggles and their obstacles and their pain, because everybody has them. And then ask God to go before you and make their hearts receptive to the message you carry. You've got the cure for sin. You have it. You've got the antibodies. All they need is a blood transfusion, a transfusion of the blood of Jesus to wash away their sin and kill off the virus that will take them into the eternal pits of the damned. You've got the cure. You've got the answer. Father, make them receptive, please, to what I have to say. And then pray and ask God to give you an opening to invite them to know Jesus, and or to come to your connect group that you're a part of. Say, we're going to gather together and have a cup of coffee and study a little bit of scripture together and pray for one another. Love to have you be a guest of mine. When you lead them to Jesus, it's easy to get them into a connect group, and from a connect group, get them into the church. And then some may be like Zacchaeus. You just need to know that Jesus loves you right where you are. Right where you are. Become a follower of his, like he did that day. Because Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house. How do I do that, Pastor? You do what we're about to do together right here, right now. So with all our heads bowed and eyes closed for just a few seconds, do the same at home. First of all, let me ask anyone in the room, do you need the Savior? You know, he wants you in his kingdom. You're here today because he wanted you here. You're hearing this truth because he wanted you to hear it. And no matter where you've been, or what you've done, or how bad it looks, in a moment, he forgives all of it. If that's you, lift your hand and say, I need forgiveness today. Just get it up straight in the air, as high as you can get it. Thank you, ma'am. Anywhere else? Put that hand straight up. High as you can raise it. Thank you, Jesus. This is the moment. This is the time. If you're doing that at home, if you're doing it here, let's pray this prayer together. Say, Father, I know I've sinned. I need your forgiveness. Forgive me through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. I trust my life to you, and I'm choosing to follow your leadership from this day forward. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. If you've done that at home, would you please call in quickly or email us as quickly as you can and let us know you've made a decision for Jesus. For those of you that have been watching at home, we thank you for joining us today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, thanks for joining us today.